Hey guys, welcome to the Martial and Healing Arts channel. I'm Rafe Kelly, founder of Evolve Move Play. I'm extremely excited to be sponsoring this channel. Martial and Healing Arts have been key aspects of embodiment and self-cultivation for thousands of years. I have some of my best friends in the industry, Rory Miller, Matt Thornton, Edward Hines, presenting here, and I'm really excited to share what they have to say with you guys. You're gonna love it. So Evolve Move Play is an ecology of practices of movement, mindfulness, nature connection, and community. And within the movement, we have a big emphasis on moving in nature and being able to do parkour. We also like to lift weights and throw things around, but there's a huge aspect of martial arts, and I've been training martial arts since I was 6 years old. So it's really exciting to be able to sponsor this channel in particular. If you're interested in my work, check out my talks on the Main Stage and the Movement Anatomy channel. If you can't get to either of those live, you can check us out at Rafe Kelly on Instagram, get all your awesome embodiment giveaways, and for now, just enjoy this amazing channel. It's gonna be an awesome show.
I'm more than honored to announce the session with Catherine Lemieux, an awarded lecturer and presenter with over 20 years of experience in aquatic fitness and field therapy. She educates worldwide for both AEA and ATRA, and she has her own educational institute to share knowledge and help others become better aquatic coaches and design programs such as bioexercises. So, Catherine, please take over.
Thank you so much. Just a little check. You can hear me, right? It's okay? You can hear me? Yes. So, welcome, everybody. Welcome to the bioexercise introduction. Probably for most of you, it's going to be new. I'm seeing that maybe I'm not able. Are you guys okay with me with the sound?
We hear you?
Yes.
Sorry, you were okay. Muted for some reason for a moment. Just go. Now it's fine.
I'm still okay now. I'm ready to go. Just give me like a shake in the head. So I know for sure. Thank you so much. So again, welcome to this bioexercise introduction, because probably most of you guys don't know about the bioexercise yet. So welcome to everybody, and I'm very grateful to be here. So thank you to Mark Walsh from the Embodiment Conference, because it's really great to share my knowledge on aquatic exercises. And I call it aquatic exercise because it's more than just fitness, and it's also more than just therapy. So bioexercise, let me introduce myself.
Catherine, excuse me, we have a problem because for some reason you're still muted.
Yes, but it looks like I'm muted because I need to share my sound. Remember,
yes.
I'm on a
yes.
sound
system. But we don't see you. I don't see, do you
yes,
see her, Hanko?
You're on mute, so if you can check. Let's see. I'm trying to unmute you, but it doesn't happen.
Yeah, because every time. Okay, wait. Just 1 second.
Okay,
can you hear me now?
Now I can not hear you.
Yes, now you're here. Okay.
But the video is.
Yes.
The video?
Yes.
Can you go?
Yeah, it's a go.
Okay, I see some comments that they can hear me, but not the visual. Should be okay now. I'm spotlighted, right? Okay, so welcome everybody again. I'm gonna do the introduction again. So, hi everyone, welcome. My name is Catherine Lemieux. I live in the Netherlands, but I was born in Belgium. So I still have my Belgian passport, and luckily for that, I can still cross that border. And I'm really grateful to be here for the Embodiment Conference. So thank you so much for inviting me. And I'm in this Martial and Healing Arts channel, which is quite great, because I think that our industry and aquatic field is a lot to do with aquatic health. And of course, we perform some art in that water. So it's really cool. So I am an AEA training specialist and also certified by ATRI, which is the Aquatic Therapy and Rehab Institute. And the AEA is the Aquatic Exercise Association, which is a worldwide organization. So in normal days, I can travel all around the world, and I do that to share knowledge, but also to learn from each other. And that's how the program of bioexercise actually started. So let me take you on a journey today for the bioexercise, and I invite you to follow along. Just take your hands and go like this. Just easily do it. And now switch the hands and do it in the opposite way. It feels a little weird. And that is what bioexercise does. It changes from here, which we know, to this, which we don't know yet. And that's what we do in the aquatic industry a lot. We live on land, but we can use the water as a training opportunity to be able to do more than we actually can do on land. And we know from research that there is an immediate transfer when we practice in the water, there is an immediate transfer to land. So with the program of bioexercise, which I co-designed with Lori Denemy, she's from the US, she has a WeCoach organization. So with the program of bioexercise, we did that in 2017, we combined all the research that we can find on the aquatic therapy and aquatic fitness industry, and we put that together, and we had like seven main researchers that we wanted to highlight. And those seven researchers explain why is it so important to work in the aquatic industry. I've been working in the aquatic industry since 20 plus years, and I always loved it, from a child with playing in the water, going to swimming, to also actually train in the water, and then became an aquatic hydrotherapist. The water is a great environment to do some training. So actually the bioexercise program was done and designed for performance in the water. But again, we have that immediate transfer on land. So we still do that functional training in the water to be able to perform better on land or to train hard in a better environment, which is the water. And we all know that the water is one of the natural elements. So it gives us some natural resistance, but also the hydrostatic pressure, which while I will talk about a little bit more, gives us that extra thing that we can use. So let's talk about bioexercise for a little bit. I can talk about it a lot because I really believe in that program. Bioexercise is an innovative new program. It's grounded in science and exploding in new ways to move the body, and it engages all the senses. There are three ways that you can use the bioexercise program. You can use it for group exercise. You can use it for group or small personal training and specialty formats. And you can always apply it to your clinical integration or maybe medical fitness. So in the bioexercise, the research says, or one of the researchers says, personalized water exercise improves cognitive function. That's not easy to understand, but there is a proof that when you do cognitive tasks in the water, you can actually perform better than being on land. So in that case, we should do all our tests or all our studying in that pool. I do not own my pool, or I do not own an own pool. That's why I have my green screen right here. But I do work in a pool a lot. And I find that if we integrate cognitive things in the water, we can actually see the people improving a lot. So how does it exactly work? We start with what we need, what we say, purposeful physical exercises. It uses all the principle of the AFS, the applied functional science. And we also train with the six directional formula. We will do an exercise on that later. Also in the bioexercise, we use mainly functional exercises, and functional with fun ahead, because fun is a high important factor, because when it's fun, we need to study more, we like it more, we learn more, and we do more. We also incorporate activities of daily living, which are reaching, walking, rotation, bending, lifting, pushing, pulling, you probably already know all of them. So we also incorporate that in our bioexercise program. What we also try to incorporate, and that's where that healing arts really come in, and that embodiment is that really that involvement of, for instance, breathing, but also meditation. And what we learn the people, or what we teach the people, is self-regulation. They need to listen to their body. We try to combine upper and lower body always at the same time, which needs a little coordination. But again, training coordination is good for cognitive tasks. So that is a good thing as well. We also do some balance and fall prevention, and we always do an evaluation, which is two ways. They need to self-evaluate themselves, and we also evaluate them as being a participant. So let's take a look at that six directional movement. We all know that we have three planes of moving, which is the sagittal plane, the frontal plane, and we have that transverse plane. In our activities of daily living, we always combine those planes of movement. We never move in a certain plane only. Like when we walk and we are in the kitchen, we turn around, we rotate, we go in a sagittal plane, we go backwards, we rotate again. So we need to combine all of these movements all in one. We will do an exercise on that so we can learn from that. I invite you to join along. And as long as you have good postural balance and you can stand on one leg without any problems, you can do it. If not, please use a chair and hold on to that chair for a better balance. So the exercise is going to be following. You just anchor your leg to the floor and you just swing your leg back and forward. You can use your arms so you have that upper body movement as well. And if you want to add some trunk rotations, you can do it as well. So this would be a regular knee swing exercise that we perform in the water a lot of times. It's good for our hip flexor, it's good for our hip extensor, and it's also good for our balance. But here we go. If we want to incorporate all of these different planes of moving, we don't actually swing our leg in that frontal plane as well. So we can rock that for left to right and right to left. Some people probably are going to have issues with the balance, so they can hold onto a chair, or in fact, in the aquatic environment, they can hold onto the wall. But that will be changing in that other direction. If we want to do rotation, we can do a rotation within the rotation going out and in, or we can actually circumduct and make little circles in that water as well. The insanity is, and that's something that Albert Einstein said, the insanity is doing the same things over and over again with expecting a different outcome. If we would only use these exercises in a sagittal plane, in that frontal plane, or in that transverse plane, that would mean that we can only do six different exercises, or maybe eight if we want to add that circumduction. But if we incorporate that into our trainings and we can swing it front to side to back and side, and we can switch that up by using different patterns and, for instance, walking and switch that leg, we can actually enhance our training a little bit better as well for better functioning in our daily life. So that's a good thing. So now we have that pool. This is actually the pool where I've been teaching for over the last 5-6 years. It's a new pool, and as you see, it's a therapy pool. We have our high beams for our wheelchair people, so we can bring them in. And the water is actually quite hot. It is 33 centigrades. Yeah, so it's really hot. So I can do simply meditation and breathing patterns without the people being cold. But I can also train with more fit people at a really high intensity level as well, because the water is actually going to cool them off, and they can perform better in the pool than they can do on land, because on land they will heat up too much and they will see their limits much sooner than we are in the pool, and we have those healing or that cooling purposes. So when we go to the pool and we look at the research, one of the researchers says the effect of water immersion during exercise, there is an extra cerebral blood flow. So when I go to the pool and I can do that, this is an opportunity that I have with my green room. If we go to the pool and we are submerged, even just a little, let's say like submerged until maybe the belly button, so I should lift my water a little bit more. I can call the machine guys and say, we need more water. If I can lift up my water until the belly button area, like in the area of the belly button and that sternum, that little part, that would be the best way to be in the water. If I am immersed in that water, that means that 50% of my gravity is taking off and another 50% is going to be that buoyancy impact. That already gives me a push up, and that push up will mean that there's more blood flow going through that upper body, going all the way to my brain and to my head. So that's a good thing, because that cognitive function is going to be better when I am submerged. If I take a step back and I can go to deep water, I can actually submerge myself until here. And that will mean that I have a submersion of almost 90%. And 90% means that 90% is going to be that upward thrust, that water pushing me up. It's really easy to comprehend. It's really easy to understand, because that's just physics. And when I was younger, I hated physics. But now when I know the application of it, I just love it. So that water immersion is doing a lot. It gives us a dive reflex. It also makes our heart rate going down. Just standing here on land compared to standing in the water with a 90% immersion already give me a heart rate drop from somewhere between 9 to 12 beats per minute, which is quite interesting, because we don't know yet exactly why that is, but we do know that the body does that. Another effect that we have on that water immersion is that we can better dual task. And dual task means that we can do two things at the same time. When I focus on exercising on land, I focus mainly on that balance, because I need that. But in the water, I have even more options to do that, because I have that turbulence of the water. And if I use that water's turbulence, I actually need to focus on that balance even more. So I have to do more in the water, train more muscles and engage more muscles or trigger more muscles at the same time than doing that same performance on land. So that water also not only has that upward thrust, it also has that pressure. And that hydrostatic pressure will help us in that balance. I treat a lot of clients that are not really good in their functional gait. Maybe it's just because of becoming older, but it could also be because of issues like osteoporosis, or maybe they have fibromyalgia, or they have a walker. As soon as they come to the water, they feel that hydrostatic pressure like helping them. They also say like it's a second pair of hands that needs that helps them to be able to be better in their balance performance. So actually the gait changes in that water as well. And they don't really have to think about it, because they are just walking in that water in a really easy pace, trying to hold their balance. And that gait training is going to help them again on land as well, because also there in gait training, there is an immediate transfer to land. What we also see in that dual task performance is that when they are in the water and they really feel that hydrostatic pressure coming in, they also work a little bit harder in recovering from falling from their balance. Or if they are like side to side, they are training their body to regain in that dynamic or that static balance again. And those muscle triggers are so much slower in the water compared to land, but it's the same trigger. So they have more time to train that balance and fall prevention, because they don't fall so fast. Plus they have the hydrostatic pressure keeping their balance. And an extra plus point of the water as well is that they are not afraid of falling. So all that fright of fall, so when they have that fear of fall, when they walk like this, they come to the pool and they forget about that. We do have some people with a fear of the water. So we have to address that if that is needed for them as well, because we don't want that water fear. Do they have to swim to do bio exercise? No, they don't have to. It's a virtual exercise program. So that's good. What we also see with that immersion, with that hydrostatic pressure, the heart rate is going down and so on, that blood flow is coming up. We see that a lot of things happen in the head. And there are some research that said that those brain-derived neurofactors actually increase and they have more functioning at the same time when they are in the water. So we see an increase of that BDNFs when we are in the water, which is also good because that helps us in our neuromotor exercise. And that cognitivity is also helped to improve like attention, but also memory or cognitive functions and learning in general. So in a bioexercise, we can do a lot of exercises. I was already talking about gait training. I was already talking about balance training. We can do actually everything that we have on land, we can actually do in the water. We just have to slow it down because in that water, we have a lot of resistance. We can always say like it's 12 to 15 times as hard as working the same exercise on land. When I have an exercise on endo and extra rotation of the upper body, when I do it in the water, it's going to be 12 to 15 times harder than doing this on land. Just by standing there and doing the same pace of movement, it's going to be 12 to 15 times harder. But here it is. In the water, we can actually change our exercise really fast by making it more fast and putting more strength to it. So when I put an emphasis on that exercise, and when I do an acceleration on that exercise, it's not even going to be 12 to 15 times anymore. I can actually put it to 20 times more than I can do on land. Because on land, I need equipment to do that. In the water, I have the aquatic environment. So I can use that water resistance to train in the individualization that I need. So in a group-based format, I can do endo and exo rotation and everybody can do it differently, which is good because they still do the same exercise, but they can change it according to what they can do and what they can't do. If they, for instance, have a shoulder pathology, they can do it slowly, or they decrease the frontal resistance by just switching the hands. If they want to open the hands, they can actually do it with more resistance as well because we change the frontal surface. Okay. With putting that acceleration, we can also emphasize on the front and the back with doing one exercise. Let me give you an example on a biceps curl. If I do a biceps curl on land, I need weight to really train and engage that bicep and I have to pull it up. If I want to train my triceps, I have to go to a different machine and have to train a triceps or maybe a triceps pullback. If I am in the water, I can do one exercise to train both muscle pairs. I can do a biceps and a triceps at the same time because underwater, I have that water's resistance, biceps, triceps, biceps, triceps. Now I can still change that into an emphasis on that triceps by extending my arm faster than flexing it. So I can still do that big, strong impact on that triceps muscle and do a slower one on the biceps. If I do it equally, we could say that we can train the biceps and the triceps equally as well. But if I emphasize it by pulling and putting it down, extending my arm a little bit more, I can actually focus on that targeted muscle here in the back, which is our triceps. So that water resistance is going to help us in our training. And we can individualize, even in a group session, very easy. We can individualize it for everybody, targeted them at their purpose, what they need and what they want. So it's really cool. And then another thing that we have, and that's one of the topics that I use a lot, we have what we call water inertia. We also have our own inertia, and we also have our strength in the arms, which is called limb inertia. But what we see in that water inertia is that if I really want to cross that pool, I have to gauge that muscle to be able to step forward. As soon as I'm in a pace, that water is going to help me to start again. So we could say it's like a start-stop principle. So I'm going to fully travel in the water, and those first meter, maybe 2 meters, is going to be really hard. And then that water is going to help me. It's the same as being in a car. Like when you pull up very fast, you're going to be pushed back because of that resistance and that 4Gs. If you take a roller coaster, you're going to feel that. And the same happens when you stop. You have to stop and really engage to be able to stop, because otherwise you're going to be propelled forward. Yeah. in that water, we have the same. That water has its own inertia, and we have that own inertia as well. So we can actually use that as an external force to help us engaging those muscles to be able to start and stop, but also to change directions. And changing directions is really hard in a pool because that water inertia is going to go in a straight line. While we have our own inertia, and we want to change that direction. So it's going to be harder, and it's going to push us a little more diagonally, which is good because that's a training, and that's going to help us in our static and dynamic balance. Yeah. So in bioexercise, we have all the exercises that we normally do from aquatic fitness or maybe aquatic therapy, vertical exercises, but we enhance them. And what we do to enhance them is we use those 7 evidence-based practices. We call it using brain boosters. And brain boosters are those that we need not only to put different exercises in, but also to change and to target different topics. In the old days, I was really focused on the typical physical things, strength, power, endurance, also some flexibility and so on. We can still do that, but if we want to do it in different ways all the time to really go from here to there, we have to trigger our body to change it up a little bit. And we need our brain boosters to do so. So here are the 7 brain boosters. I'm going to tell a little bit more about them later. We have what we call mirroring. We need social interaction. We need repetition with variation. We need to do some problem solving, multitasks. It needs to be fun and engaged. And we also need individualization in that training experience. Yeah. If you want to do it personalized, that is an opportunity. You can do it for personal training and really go one-on-one. You can write or develop your own program and then incorporate those bioexercise brain boosters with that as well. But in a group session, we also try to individualize those exercises with all those training things that I just talked about, like that using inertia, using acceleration, that hydrostatic pressure, stuff like that. We can already do a lot of individualizations in group settings as well. But sometimes it's good to get some dedicated special moment. In a typical format of a bioexercise program, in a 45-minute class, we would also dedicate 5 minutes for a personalized training. So let's say that I have a group of 16 people, which is my max at this time. I can give them 3 exercises, and then I tell them, you can select your own exercise now. Maybe you want to work on your upper body a little bit more. Maybe you do your lower body. You do some cardio. It's okay. And they individualize that own exercise, what they want. As a bioexercise coach, you just guide them and help them. You can also say, just do your own exercise, whatever you want. But that's a little bit harder because you need to help them a little bit. So I would say, let's take that other exercise again with that swing in the leg. We have three different ways of performing. We have 3 different ways of that execution of that move. And then they can say which one. You want to do some more sagittal? Okay, here we go. Go sagittal. And maybe some people are going to select the frontal plane. And maybe somebody else who wants to work on the mobility really wants to do more in that rotation or that circumduction. And that's okay too. So they can individualize that training. What we also try to do is we give them some graded intervals, like working fast, working slow, working big, working small. So they can change that as well. They can see like, okay, this is my limit. So let me go a little bit under that limit because we don't want them for 45 minutes at their limit. We want them to reach that limit, come up again, go down, go up and have that graded intervals. Yeah. So bioexercise coaches guide them through that individualization so people can self-regulate. I really strongly believe that our aquatic fitness classes are not monkey see, monkey do anymore. We are not there out there teaching on deck, doing exercises and having people in the pool that just want to follow our exercise. We have people that want more knowledge. We want people to learn a little bit more, like, why do we even do this exercise? Why is this exercise good for you? And especially, and that's what I like the most, how does it feel? How does it feel for you? And how does it feel for you? And I can do that in my group session. Everybody can do it at their own way. Of course, I will motivate them. And sometimes I even have to slow them down a little bit. Like people with shoulder prosthesis, they really want to work hard. It's like, okay, you're still in your rehab time. So you really need to do the move very correctly. Just so, and then you can add that strength. And then you can add that speed. But I can individualize everything for their own, which is good. And if people know how to self-regulate, they will understand better why they are moving and how is it feeling. And that's a good thing to know. So what we did is we take traditional aquatic exercises and we enhance them with those benefits that we have in the pool. So let's say that we go back to our vertical exercise of swinging front and back. In the old days, I would always focus on the muscle involvement. I would say like, okay, this is our hip flexors. You have to pull back that water. So we have our gluteus maximus running and that iliopsoas. Keep engaging that core because we need that for the water turbulence. If not, we're gonna fall and twist back and forward. We're gonna tilt. So stay upright, use that move. That was what I did before. Now I don't do it anymore. Now I'm focusing on different things like standing on one leg, trying to stay upright, then swing that leg back and forward. Is that leg going in a sagittal plane or is it going more outward, inward, or maybe in and out? Is it possible to swing it back and forward? And how does it feel in that hip movement? How does it feel? I like to call that hip mobility because it is a hip mobility exercise. So I'm not focusing on the muscle involvement, but I also focus on that hip mobility as an exercise. But when I change it and I do the same exercise, I have hip mobility on that part, but what happens on the other side? If you want to join me, please stand up and do that same exercise. And just swing it back and forward. Do not focus on the muscle involvement like your core or your hip flexor extensors, but focus on that standing leg. That standing leg is not doing mobility. That standing leg is doing more stability. And it needs to be very engaged because if not, you're not going to be able to do that in a good rocking motion, but you're going to twist yourself. So please do that exercise and feel what it does to your hip in that stability mode. You really need to engage those muscles on that side as well. If not, you're falling. If you don't really feel it, go left to right with a little crossover as possible. Again, be safe, guys. Make sure that you have some space around you. Hold on to a chair if it's needed. But feel what that standing leg is doing. And it's not only the hip that is involved. It is also the knee. And what about your ankle? Do you feel that ankle working? Do you feel that that ankle also needs to do a little stability? Yeah. If we already feel that on land, you can imagine what that is in the water. Because in that water, because of moving that leg left to right or back and forward, we actually going to engage that water inertia and we're going to have that drag and resistance as well. So it's going to be even harder to do, but we have that hydrostatic pressure to help us engage, to be able to stand up a little bit more. So those forces all together are going to help us to perform better, both mobility wise and also stability wise at the same time. Okay. Did you do it, guys? It's a pity that I cannot see you, but I hope that you are doing it with me to give you an idea. And if not, if you have the opportunity to go to a pool, do it. Yeah, I see. Yes. Great. Good. Thank you, Reem. Good to see that you are coming along and that you get it. Okay. So let me take you through a little bit difference that we can incorporate well. So I'm not going to step in my pool, so I don't want to fall over. if I normally work, I would have my positioning of my foot in a narrow stance, which is hip width or shoulder width apart. This is a good way to be able to stand up straight. Most of the people in the water are gonna have their legs a little bit more wide because that gives us more stability. That is easier for them to stand on. But what if we would change our foot positioning, and that's what we do in bioexercise a lot, into toes out. Or we do the same with toes in. And of course we can mix it up. Both toes go that way, both toes go that way. And you can even switch it up from a narrow stance in a basic way to a split stance, which is a narrow stance, one foot goes forward a little bit more. And then we can actually change it up again. Toes inward, toes outward, both toes to the left or both toes to the right. That is going to change our exercise. So let me take you back to that exercise with that swinging leg, left to right. Now do the same exercise and now point your toes out and point your toes in and feel what that does to your, what I call mobility hip. Then also feel what it's doing to your stability hip. So your toes go in and out and you have that rotation coming along as well, going from that hip out and in. Yeah. Did it feel good? I hope so, because it gives you a little bit more hip mobility and it always feels good. So now let's change up that leg, but I'm gonna put my foot outward. I'm gonna anchor my leg, put my weight into that. Start with a regular frontal swing. And then I'm gonna do the same with in and out. Maybe bringing that leg up a little bit more. Like I said, it's individual. You can always say I can go bigger and I can go stronger, whatever you want. If you really want to train that inner thigh, you can always decide to accelerate on the inside, go out to the outside. Accelerate in, go out to the outside. Because again, in the pool, we can switch that up without even using equipment. That acceleration is going to trigger that inner thigh even more. So those basic foot positionings are very important to target different areas and also to give them that variation, okay? Let's take a deeper look at that brain boosters. Brain boosters is not something that we developed. It is something that we put together because there's a lot of science and probably the science of neurobics, you already know. Neurobics was a term that was conducted by Katz and Rubin. And it was in the older days. And it describes using physical and emotional senses in new and unexpected ways. Remember the unexpected ways? So we use our senses, we need to feel, and we also do it in a physical way. That is neurobics. A lot of research is done on that neurobics, and it says it should incorporate or it should involve one or two more senses in a new context. Well, we are in the aquatic environment. Again, we live on land. We do not know about the aquatic environment. So that is gonna give us a totally different neurofeedback. I have some people that come into the water for the first time and they have no idea what to do in the pool yet. I'm there to coach them, I'm there to guide them, and I will tell them what is a jog, what is a jumping jack in the water, what is a cross-country ski. I'm going to help them through some regular exercises, and that sense that they will get is going to be totally different than doing a ski or a jumping jack on land. It's still going to be the same muscle triggers, but the neurofeedback going to that brain is going to be totally different. You can see that by people that come into the pool and they start walking on their tippy toes because the floor in the pool is mainly wet. And that body is already responding like, hey, what is that wet environment? I don't know this. So we try to be on our tippy toes to get more information out of our feet to our brain, like, what is this? This is new, this is different. And most of our neurological pathways are in the big toes. So that's why the people walk on tippy toes to get better information. They also do that in the pool. They also go to their tippy toes. So we have to coach them to at least try to copy what they do on land in the water. So they don't do gait training just on the tippy toes, but they do a good full roll on that foot when they do gait training in the water. What we also see, because of that cognitive function, that blood flow going through the brain, we also see that they are fully engaged and they have full attention. So aerobics exercise is good for that brain as well. And it breaks the routine. Working out in the pool is a lot of fun, so we can do that. So the 7 brain boosters, and if you want to have them, because I'm going to do it quite fast, you're more than free to contact me. I'm going to send out my email address later. You can have the PowerPoint so you can take them home. Brain booster number 1, mirroring. Copy and paste. It's still a little monkey see, monkey do. We all know that the people are more into sign language than into regular language. If I tell the people to go that way, and I'm going to say it wrong, this for me is left, and you go to the right, they're just going to follow the direction where I am pointing to. Yeah, they're not going to listen, but they're going to see what they do. So people mirror. And in the research, that is research with bananas and monkeys, and then that transmitter that goes. And if you see somebody taking a banana, it's going to give you the same neurotransmitters than that monkey that is eating the actual banana. So there's a lot of science behind that. Mirroring, important. So make sure that you demonstrate well so that people can follow you. 2, social interaction. It is such a fun group to work with. The most important thing probably is also the cup of coffee after their group session, but making that social integration and make sure that it is in that bioexercise class makes it so much fun. They feel welcomed, they feel engaged. When I have, especially when I have some men, they always go, oh, there's another man in the pool, because mainly are these older women. Yeah, so it's really fun to see that social interaction, that social peer group. Then it's repetition with variation. Yeah, if we do the same over and over again, it's going to get boring. We need to do the same, but in different ways. I gave you the foot positioning, so now you can already play with that. And from one exercise, you already can vary with many, many exercises. Then another thing that is important in the bioexercise that is research-based, problem solving. Go from that place to the other place, but you can only use one leg. What do? Let the people think about it. Do they want to jump? Do they want to hop? Do they want to skip? Do they want to whatever? There is not a correct answer. It is them thinking that is already the answer. How it actually turns out doesn't really mean a lot. Yeah. So give them something with the problem solving. A week ago, I had a jumping jack with a forward propulsion coming back and forward. And I asked them, what letter am I copying it now? And in my head, that was the letter U from university, U. And then somebody replied, I see a letter H. It was like H, he goes like back up. Hey, that could be an H, but if you really want an H, you have to do it up. And then the second one, you have to do it down. So I was doing that jumping jack forwards, closing again, jumping jack backwards, closing it again. So it actually gave me another repetition with variation because they thought it was differently. Their outcome was differently. But it was good because they had their problem solving. Let's take a letter L. You can only jump on one leg and you have to make a letter L. How are you going to do it? Front, back, side to side? Or are you going to do it left or right? Or how do you see it in your head? One person was doing it on one leg. Was it a letter L? Yes, it was, in a different way. So it's always good to incorporate something that they have to think about themselves. Problem solving. Then we also do multitasking. And I can tell you guys, it's really easy to do multitasking in the pool. Just make them travel to the water and they have to multitask a lot because they're gonna cross somebody else, the water inertia is going to come in, they have to turn around because they don't want to hit a wall. So they already multitask a lot. And they don't really think about engagement of the muscles or engagement in the body because it's going to be more and more normal going from here to here. So in the beginning, it's going to be hard, But after a while, they're used to it and they love doing it. Then again, one of the brain boosters is going to be fun. I always talk to my people a lot. I make a lot of fun. I'm very well and organized and structured in my classes. And I use music a lot because of that motivation and that fun factor. But I always like to make it functional. So even if I do a really strong exercise with upper body rotations, with a good strong flexibility of the shoulders and mobility, maybe if I want to go down and engage it a little bit more, I try to make it fun. And I say, like, okay, let's put our seatbelt, click it in, let's drive side to side, let's do that again, take that seatbelt, go in. So I use a lot of visualization to do it. And that makes it fun. And most of the time people are watching their clock and they go like, wow, it's time already. It was 45 minutes. This was fast. And for me, that is really good. If I hear people saying that, it's like, wow, they really didn't have any idea that they had to do all the exercises. No, no. They loved it. They engaged and they really like it. Yeah. And then there is a seventh one. I already discussed it. One of the brain boosters is individualization training experience. Make sure that they know that they work for their body. Everybody is different. You can help them. You can share your knowledge and you can tell them, okay, watch your shoulder prosthesis. Make sure that you don't go too fast or too hard. Don't put too much pressure on it. Just open and close. That's okay. And then another one who maybe doesn't have an issue with the shoulders, but with the knee, that person can do it really strong and really hard. So I'm going to motivate that one. I'm going to help that one. But eventually they have to self-regulate and they have to know that exercise. If I do this, they have to know how they do it for themselves. That means that they learn to trust their body more and more and that they listen to what their body is saying them and telling them. If they are sore in the afternoon, maybe you did a little bit too much. If you're tired, I'm always happy. I always tell them after class, you can take your 2-hour break in the afternoon because you deserve it. And I want them to go that far. I want them to push that limit. I don't want them to go 50, 60 of their maximum. No, no, no. I'm going to bring them to 80% aerobic exercise. Make sure that they breathe well through all the exercises. Make it hard. And after it, they go like, whew, I really worked. Yes, if we want to become better, we really need to train. And training means that we're getting tired. Yeah. But again, individualize. If they want to run back and forward in the pool, it's okay. If somebody else just stepping and doing it more in a slowly way, it's okay too. Yeah. So those brain boosters are very important in everything that we do in the aquatic industry, especially with the bioexercise program. So make sure that it's personalized. Make sure that you coach them and you guide them and you don't have that monkey see, monkey do. Okay, this is a great exercise. Let's do this. And all the people go like, okay, let's go. They will maybe do that for 2 weeks, but the third week, they're going to ask, why is it good? Why do we do this exercise? Well, I can tell you why we do it. But if you really tell them why we do it, they're going to understand it better. And then the next time they go like, now we know. And I always give them like homework. I tell them, if you go to a supermarket, instead of going fast, just do it 3 times, go back and forward, put your weight shift back and forward, and then take your groceries and put it in a cart. Yeah. So little homework. Or if you're watching television and you see that commercial break, stand up 10 times and sit down again. It's good for your practicing sit to stand. It's good for those quadriceps. It's good for the hamstrings to sit down. And I give them homework and I always ask them, did you do your homework this week? Or I would give them something very coordinative and I will tell them exercise because next week we're going to do that again. And then I see some improvement. I go, you really did your homework. I go, no, I didn't practice, but still it's going better because you can see that your brain is getting used to a new way of pattern or that new pattern in that coordination that you developed. Yeah, so coach assigned exercises, but also participant assigned, they have to self regular. Okay. I have a question that says, do you incorporate partner exercise? Yes and no. When I do social interaction and mirroring the people, I could do like a mirroring, like they can select their own exercises and the other one needs to copy it. Because for the brain booster, it's good for the memory mirroring, and it's also good for that social interaction. What I mostly don't do, and maybe it's just because I'm in the Netherlands, is they don't like to hold each other, especially these times where we have our distance rules and everything. They don't want to be close. But even without those rules, holding each other is a, how do I say it? They need to trust each other. And if they don't really know each other, it's really hard to do partner work. I would have the solution if I want to do it. I would have the solution to put like noodles in between, you know, those yellowed colored flexi beam foam things that they use in the water. You can use that in between. So you have that good distance and then they do some exercises together, which is good for their brain boosters. But most of the time I work quite individual. So maybe two groups, but not two people together so much, yeah? In a therapy session, I would do it a little bit more because in therapy purposes, you can also use it for relaxation, okay? And social interaction is important, but remember, people in the pool are mainly older people, sometimes with pathologies. If you would have like a shoulder pathology, would you be happy to have somebody holding you? It's always scary. You never know what the other one does and maybe you can rip that muscle or that shoulder again. So it is a trusting, okay? Okay, to wrap it up, bioexercise, aquatic exercise, what you already maybe know, enhance it a little bit with what the research is telling us. And again, training in water to become better on land. We don't want to train in the water just because it's fun or just dance in the water because it's fun. We want to train functional and we want to use those brain boosters because that is really going to help us cognitively, emotionally, self-regulated, feeling your own body and your own way of thinking, your own way of working out, basically. Let me see if I have some more questions. I'm going to open the chat a little bit so I can see. So I had that partner work with the classes. Any more questions? I'm going to give you a little bit of time. Yeah. What I'm going to do is in that chat below, in your Zoom screen or maybe on Facebook, you can see it. I'm going to type in my email address if you have any questions on the program bioexercise. If you want to follow me, be free to find me on Facebook or Instagram. I'm going to type it for you guys so you can contact me. Maybe you have a question later. I'm always more than welcome to answer those. So here is my email address, my full name, if you want to follow me on Facebook. I know my last name is not easy. Belgium girl with a French background, so that's always like this. And my Instagram is Katrine Aqua, of course. So if you want to know more on any of the organizations that I mentioned, AEA, ATRI, or any of those, just contact me and I am more than happy to help you guys out. It's 5 minutes before 12. I hope that I did well on the timing.
You did great. Yeah, thank you. It was great. And for me, despite the fact that I come from martial arts background, some things were very interesting and I think I'm going to incorporate also in the training. So really great, great presentation. Before giving your like a top tip for being more embodied, more in your body, just a few announcements. So the next session in 1 hour is releasing somatic tensions for self-healing with Vincent Young. And in between, please do join our coffee breaks. You're going to find the link in your portal. So it's going to be like a Zoom meetings where you can communicate with other attendees. Also, you can discuss in the Facebook groups. I'm going to just paste it just a moment so you have all of that in one place. Also, our channel sponsor and Catherine's website. And of course, you will notice that this there are like 1,000 sessions on this this conference. So it's absolutely impossible that you will gonna be able to see all of them in real time. So be free to purchase the recordings library, which will not only give you the full recordings of every session, but also give you session cheat sheet notes. So you can just go through the notes. You don't have to watch all sessions. Also audio files, so you can just take it on the go, listen to it like a podcast. And for those of you that want like a structured approach, there are learning lists. So you get it, it's almost like university. And worth mentioning, during the conference, you get the 50% off of the final price. So there is 10 days of it, so use it wisely. And with this, you will not only be helping yourself and the people around you, but also all of those that cannot afford and for that reason can watch for free. So yeah, Catherine, can you give us like a one thing that will be like a the top tip for being best with your body?
I would say, and it does not only apply to any aquatic fitness professional, but everybody that is a teacher in like group sessions, aerobics, steps, even whatever it is, make sure that you do more than just that monkey see, monkey do. Give them something to take home. How does it feel for you individually? I'm not talking about everybody in the room. I'm talking about you. How do you feel? How does it feel for your body? How do you imply that exercise? How do you feel that engagement? And I think that that cognitive function, that emotional sense that you will give them extra, is going to help them to perform better in daily life as well. They're going to walk out like, I feel good. And not only like, oh, this was a good class. We had fun. No, no. I took something home. This is what it was for me. And it's really good. So more individualization within that group process, whatever group that is that you are bringing or delivering. Yeah.
Just one question. How big groups do you do?
Well, I personally, I have a quite small pool. I would have 22 max in this pool, but now because of the regulations in our dressing rooms, we can only have 16. But for a bioexercise program, I don't think you can go beyond 22. Uh-huh. Because you need to coach them, you need to see them. So maybe for just a aqua dance class, I could have 50, maybe 80. I did a conference one day with 300 people in the water. That's okay. But there is no way that you can coach. It's just doing nice things and having fun. So for coaching, 20, 22 max.
Yeah, especially for working like individual, as you said. Yep. Okay, thank you. Great.
Thank you so much, everybody, for joining me. And thank you, Renko, for helping me out in this as a tech. It's always good to have a tech person with us as well. So thank you so much, everybody, and enjoy the conference. I know that I'm going to be online for the next days to see a lot and take it all in. Love it. Thank you so much.
Great. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.